This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Billy Stats here with Fox Sports Knoxville, and I'm here to tell you DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN when you sign up to turn $1 into $150 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win the next game, and if they do, you will claim $150 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
To East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show, this is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome. Another stellar edition of The Drive underway here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock, 3:02 on a Monday afternoon. Hope you're doing well. Thanks for tuning into the show. All right, we are all spread out this afternoon. I'm live from the stately Smith Manor studios of West Knoxville. Bear is in the Bear's Den. Bear, you got me?
Absolutely, buddy. How you doing?
Doing well, thank you. Jake Miller is back in the Fan Run studios. Jake, how are you, sir?
Living the dream. How are you?
Outstanding. I think you got to jiggle the handle, buddy. It's doing the thing. All right, we got a big show this afternoon, folks. It was a wild sports weekend. You got the Olympics going on. We have football starting on Wednesday, the Vols starting spring practice. It is August, and we are all set to get going here, man. A lot of recruiting news over the weekend. We're going to start there. Tennessee picks up their highest rated commitment to date so far in the class of 2022. He is Addison Nichols. He's so good. I almost forgot his name. Still learning. Addison Nichols with us. He is a four-star offensive lineman from down in Georgia. His grandparents apparently live here in Knoxville. He's got some Tennessee ties. We're actually going to try and get him on the show later in the week. He's out on the practice field right now. But, Bear, this is a little bit of momentum. There are some other guys we got that we're going to go through, but Addison Nichols kind of the crown jewel so far. And, you know, Josh Heupel is plugging along for a guy who hasn't coached a game yet, has taken over a program that went 3-7, and oh, by the way, has the scandalous cloud of NCAA investigation hovering over his head.
I think there's two things. First and foremost, it gives me hope that he, you know, I wonder what he's selling about this investigation, if he's selling the fact that the NCAA has basically, you know, been defanged. The second thing is everybody should be pretty, you know, cautiously optimistic when it comes to recruiting, because, you know, he's not doing the one thing Tennessee fans, a big beef with offensive lineman defense. He's not recruiting small guys.
Yeah.
These guys are all big, big, strong kids. So I noticed that off the bat, especially with the offensive lineman. So, well, who knows if he's going to make it, Russ? If he doesn't, we can run him out of town. We're good at that. But in the meantime, let's give the guy a chance.
Yeah. The one kid from I believe his name is Brian Grant, is the offensive lineman from down in Florida, who he is one of those 6'6", 265, 270-pound offensive linemen. But you've also got this kid. Nichols is well over 300 pounds. The Masai Reddick kid that you got from up in Michigan, another 300-plus pound mauler. So I think that, you know, those guys, the 260-pound, the guys who are long, the 6'6", 250-pound guys, the guys that Butch took, I remember he took Nathan Niehaus and Marcus Tatum, I think the year before his last year, maybe 2016, and both of those guys were 6'6", 250 pounds. Infamously, Marcus Tatum thrown in against Alabama his true freshman season. He was like a 255-pound offensive tackle, and it didn't go well. So I think there was some concern, but as long as you're getting enough of the big guys, I think fans will give you some leeway to take a quote-unquote project offensive lineman, as long as you're not throwing them into the mix right away. If it's not uncommon for SEC offensive and defensive linemen to add 30 or 40 pounds or lose 30 or 40 pounds, man. It's just when you're that age, you can change your body in a hurry if you do the right things. So, I was a little bit concerned about that at first. Oh, he runs a spread offense, smaller offensive lineman. Remember, Marcus Tatum actually transferred there and played for Josh Heupel at UCF the past couple of seasons. But it does seem like they are prioritizing size to a degree as well. So, and my thing about this one is, this is a guy you had to land. Yeah, the problems that we listed earlier are still there. They haven't gone anywhere. The investigation lingers on, and we haven't coached a game yet. It's going to take a while to get going. But when you do have an opportunity to land a four-star prospect like this, you got to pounce on it, man. And there was a connection there. We talked about his grandparents. I think there was another kid that we're going to talk about here who committed to Tennessee over the weekend, whose dad's is his coach and is from Carter, and went to Carter and coached in that community for a while. So when you have those ties, when you have those opportunities, you gotta jump right into it, man. You gotta go for it, and you gotta capitalize. And so far, so good. We missed on Ty Simpson, but you got Addison Nichols. So you gotta win the battles where you can. And this is a big one for Tennessee today. Is Bear, no matter how much you throw it, quarterbacks can't compete passes if they're lying flat on their back.
No, you can't. That's football doesn't work that way. We've seen that off and on periodically for what, past 11 years.
Yeah, no, it's you got to add the big uglies up front. This kid, I was watching his press conference, seemed like a pretty sharp young man, and we'll see.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing him play.
And one thing I will give Pruitt and the previous staff and even Will Enemy a little bit of credit here is the cupboard's not exactly bare on the offensive line. And that seems like that was a recurring problem through all the previous coaching transitions, right? It's just like, oh, man, we're starting a walk-on here or there, just not a lot of depth or anything. I think they've got some nice pieces up front, even with Wanye Morris transferring out. You got the Mays twins. You've got Jerome Carvin, who's played a lot for you. You got Spraggins, who they're very high on. You got Darnell Wright still there. K'Ron Calvert, we'll see if is it Dane Davis, the former walk-on?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there. But there's some nice pieces there. I don't think that we're inheriting just a catastrophically bad offensive line like a couple of these guys have in the past.
Yeah. I'm really interested, as much as I thought Cade had the – all the physical attributes to really excel in this league. I'm really interested in seeing what Cooper is going to become. He's one of the toughest kids I've ever seen play here in Knoxville. Just hard-nosed. He's a perfect center. And maybe we can finally have, you want to have your center. Provides a lot of stability to the offensive line, makes all the calls. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what he's going to do.
I feel like the guy we had there the past couple of years, Brandon Kennedy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He was pretty solid.
He was pretty solid, but he had that weird thing where, remember, it was like once a game he would have that bizarre false start where he snapped the ball, but I don't know what he was doing, but that I've never seen it, but he did it like three or four times.
But so see, that's the kind of thing that kept him off the field at Alabama, and that's why he transferred.
Well, I think he was injured. He tore an ACL.
Well, yeah, I mean, I agree with that. But at the end of the day, he had, injury prone, which he was here too. He missed a whole season.
Yeah.
He was also bad about, the first play of the West Virginia game. I don't want to kick a man when he's down, but you can go back and watch that tape. The mess up started with him.
Didn't he get injured on that play, or was it later in the game?
I can't remember if it's that play or like boom, boom in that series.
We should,
That was the most boneheaded offensive lineman mistake I've ever seen in my life.
Maybe
worst out of a Tennessee player.
Has there ever been a worse start to a coaching career than Jeremy Pruitt? I mean, let's just a complete disaster / fumble on the first play of the game.
I mean, should we have taken that as an omen? You know?
Yes. Yes. So
something, you know, that we could portend how the Pruitt regime was going to go.
Well, the next year you come out in your season opener and you lose to Georgia State. So yeah, hindsight's 2020, but there were clues as to where the entire era was headed
our center completely forgot that he was playing tackle football, who had transferred in out of the Alabama program. What was he? He was like a 4 or 5 star coming out of high school. You know, he wasn't a 3 because Saban doesn't sign 3 stars. Unless he finds some diamond in the rough. I'm really looking forward to Cooper Mays being our center, and hopefully he'll, he's East Tennessee kid all his life, and we've always talked about how the Tennessee kids in the offensive line, some of our best lines were just strictly Tennessee kids.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of East Tennessee kids, Austin Pope, the tight end from CAK, calls it quits. You talk about injuries. He's had multiple back surgeries for a guy who's only maybe 21 years old. I don't know, somewhere around there, give or take a year. Just couldn't get it together from a back scan. Officially hang it up. Trey Wallace broke the news Friday over at Rocky Top Insider. I guess he was teasing it on the show with us. That's a significant loss for Tennessee just from a leadership position, if nothing else. The guy's played a lot of football over his 4 years at Tennessee. They were hoping to get him back for one last hoorah. And it's not going to work out, but certainly wish him the best.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of tough, hard-nosed Knoxville kids, I mean, you can't – that's what just killed us. And it really – you know, I heard this last year for sure. When you lose, and it's different when those guys are on the sideline. It's not the same. We saw that with, I can't believe I can't remember his name. Linebacker plays for Detroit Lions now. Fan favorite when he's here.
I'm sorry, who?
Middle linebacker from Clarksville. Why cannot I remember this kid's name?
Talking about Reeves Maben?
Yeah, Jalen Reeves Maben. You know, once he got hurt, he didn't, it was just different from that point on. You lose that toughness, and that's something that Austin Pope provided. We saw a huge drop off in our run game without him. If you go back and watch, when we were running behind him, when he was leading, we were really racking up yards. So, but once you mess up your back, it's messed up.
Well, Austin Pope will join us coming up here in just a few minutes on the show. Pretty nice guest to kick off the week. Should be a fun week of shows here as we get set to start fall practice on Wednesday. The real thing, Bear, are you ready to get going?
I mean, does the Pope wear a funny hat? Bears use the bathroom in the woods, Russ? Heck, high school football, college football, NFL. My favorite time of year is right now.
I feel like you're dropping some clues here, some hints. You go out of your way to talk about Cooper Mays earlier. You mentioned the Pope right there. Is there something you want to discuss here off the top, Bear?
I mean, I was wanting to get an update on your wall-to-wall coverage over there at Dorman Blaine Stadium from Friday night, Russ. What happened? What happened to you running Red Rebels? They weren't running a whole lot from rumor around the neighborhood is that they this is the kind of scrimmage that will help Maryville in November when they're in a tough game with somebody, if they play anybody this year, that is.
Apparently, it was a huge upset at the Butch Bowl.
Dorman Blaine Stadium, and don't call it an upset, buddy.
The Maryville Red Rebels came in thirsty for blood, but the Fighting Irish were ready. They were ready, and say what you will. I believe I believe Catholic is 0-6 against Maryville in football games, but what is
like, I noticed you never want to talk about basketball anymore.
Three scrimmages in a row.
The Pope hadn't visited him forever.
Three scrimmages in a row.
You banned the Pope from these airwaves. You're a coward. You are yellow. If you took off your shirt right now, there's a big yellow stripe running down the middle of it. Because you absolutely refused to talk about any kind of high school basketball anymore. Other than run your own team down. It has two B Mays League players and Little Biv, who apparently may be one of the best guards in the city.
Why are you trying to deflect from your moment of glory? This is a good. You can actually tout Catholic football. You can hang on the rim.
Because I mean, I know why Maryville scheduled that scrimmage. Wanted to come get their noses punched, and they got them punched. So I don't get as jacked up about scrimmages as you do.
No, evidently not. You told me a couple of years ago, when I was asking why Catholic struggled so much with Maryville, that you went out
there. Because Derek Hunt's brother-in-law was the head referee.
Scrimmages.
That was a Blount County. They called holding on Cade Mays. He was the only person on the Catholic offensive line that actually wasn't holding on that play.
We're going to take a quick timeout. The drive continues. Big show lined up for you. Bill Bender from the Sporting News is going to stop by hour number two to talk a little college football with us and some more Florida State Clemson to the SEC buzz out there on the college football social media landscape. We'll talk about that a little bit, I suppose. Stay with us. Austin Pope, former Vol, former CAK Warrior, going to join us to talk about his Tennessee football career when we continue next right here on Fan Run Radio.
Hey, this is Bo Kregner here with the Kregner Group. Imagine owning a beautiful home you never thought you could afford. Now, for the heroes of our community, the dream can be real. Military personnel, police officers, firefighters, healthcare workers, and teachers, you serve us. Now, as part of Homes for Heroes, it's time for us to give back. Call me at 865-742-1035 and find out how you can get your dream home at significant savings.
So you're watching the game and you see another ad for FanDuel Sportsbook and you think to yourself, is that legal here in Tennessee? You bet it is. FanDuel Sportsbook is now legal in Tennessee. You can place your first bet on FanDuel Sportsbook risk-free and get up to $1,000 back if you don't win. Seriously, there's no strings attached. Just place any bet you want. If you win, you keep the cash. If you lose, you'll get your entire bet up to $1,000 back in bonus site credit so you can take another shot at the end zone.
All right, welcome back. The drive continues here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith, Bear, Jake Miller, all cruising along with you here on a Monday afternoon edition of the show. We're pleased to be joined by, I guess he's now former Vol, Austin Pope, former CAK Warrior tight end, joining us on the show this afternoon. Austin, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Hey, doing well. Does it sound weird talking about your UT career in the past tense now?
Very. I mean, I've done this for, I think, coming up on 6 years now because of the COVID year, but now it's weird thinking that it's in the past for sure.
So, I mean, you got to live the dream for an East Tennessee kid, played at CAK, going over to the University of Tennessee, playing for the Volunteers. I mean, all of us who grew up here in Knoxville dreamed of doing that. You got to do it. What was it like? I know that you've probably had a little bit of time to reflect. Has it sunk in yet?
I don't think it will officially really sink in until that first game kicks off, just because I won't actually be out there. I mean, I've missed games before, but I don't think it'll really sink in, like I said, until that first game is until the ball is kicked off the tee, just because I feel like I should be out there, but obviously just physically I'm not able to play anymore.
So take us through the decision. You've had back issues. I know that you've missed some time, some games, an entire season. because of that? That was just ultimately something you couldn't overcome?
Yeah, I've had some back issues in the past. I've had three prior back surgeries. So coming up on this one, I've had one on one disc, and then I had a double surgery on the same disc. It was kind of like I herniated it, and then I re-herniated it. So I had to have a double, it's called a lower lumbar discectomy. And then most recently, we were just in the weight room and lifting, and I've been getting back into fall camp form. I think it was right before July 4th, actually. And just we were in there hand cleaning and threw my rep up and dropped the weight and just felt kind of off afterwards. But then with my prior history, I went and got an MRI because I was in some pain, having some nerve pain. And then MRI said that I herniated another disc at a different level. So I'm actually meeting with my surgeon Wednesday, and then we're kind of going to go over some things and decide what's best for me from there. But probably we'll end in a fourth one.
Oh, man. So three back surgeries. And Austin, you can't be more than, what, 21, 22 years old. That's not a good ratio for your age.
Yeah, no, not at all. I'm 23 and I'm young and I'm not in terrible pain, but to be able to, you know, live an active life somewhat, like even walking the dog right now kind of lights that nerve up. So I can't really do a whole lot. And I don't know if you or anybody has experienced back pain, but if you have or know anybody that has, it's not something you can see, but I don't wish that on anybody.
Oh, I mean, Austin, I've had multiple bulging disc issues, never went under the knife. I know how that puts me out. You're an SEC athlete playing college football. I can't imagine. I mean, like, I'm sitting here listening to you talk about these surgeries, and it's like, it just sounds excruciating.
Yeah, it's the nerve pain is probably the worst thing. Obviously, like, you lose some mobility and, like coming off of the two from last season. So I didn't play in 2020, obviously, but I had my second overall surgery in the beginning of, I think it was July when we came back from COVID. And then 6 weeks later, I re-herniated and had the second one again, which most people don't know about. But just trying to come back from that, like I rehabbed for, I think it was 7-8 months. So it just, like, obviously there's deficiencies, but most of the time after the surgery, they tell you after 6 weeks, you shouldn't have any more nerve pain. And I mean, obviously they say that, but you'll wake up here and there with some nerve pain, and it's not terrible, but it's manageable. But it's what I want to do. I mean, I love football and I still love football, obviously. Otherwise I wouldn't even try to come back after my third surgery. And it's what I wanted to do. So I felt like it was worth it. But at this point, I got to put my health before my wants, you know?
Sure, sure. We're talking with Austin Pope this afternoon on the show. And you had an incredible 12 months. I mean, you kind of hit on the start of it where you come back from COVID, you think you're back from injury, you're going to play, you end up re-injuring yourself, can't play the COVID season. I think, and correct me if I'm wrong here, I know so much has happened. You were in the transfer portal at one point, and then you were going to come back, and now you got hurt again. I mean, it's just a lot has transpired the last year or so.
Yeah, I was in the transfer portal, and then I planned on leaving, but I had some family issues. I had some family health issues that really just wouldn't allow for me to leave. So then I, at that point, Coach Pruitt was the coach. So I called Coach Pruitt, asked him like how everything was and if he was going to be there and, everything, because it was during the investigation that's still going on, and, everything seemed cool, seemed fine. And then literally the next, like I called him, I told him I was coming back, and then the next day he got booted. So it's been a wild 12 months for sure.
So you obviously you came back and you're going through a little bit of Coach Heupel's program. It's another coaching change. Boy, if you're 23, you're probably around for some of the Butch Jones era. I mean, you've kind of seen it all. What were your thoughts on just the start to the new regime over there with Coach Heupel? Obviously, they were going to throw the ball around a little bit more. I'd imagine that might be a little bit enticing to a tight end, getting a few more targets. What are your thoughts on just the transition and the way things are going so far for the new coaching staff?
It was definitely enticing, and things are going well. It's totally, offensively speaking, it's totally different from anything I've ever played in. I've always played in a pro-style offense for the most part. I didn't play tight end in high school, and then I came here as a tight end and never blocked anybody, and then was created into a blocking tight end for the most part. But now they're going pretty opposite of that. I would say for the tight end speaking, it's balanced, but it's more, it relies more on the receiving end for the tight ends in this offense. And I mean, they play fast and they want to get 100 snaps a game and make people make mistakes, you know, and want to gas people and tire the D line out and the linebackers and make them run sideline to sideline. And I think it'll be good, but I mean, obviously I've thought about for the past three staffs, and you can't really predict the staff. You just kind of got to let it work its way out.
I think I remember back to Coach Pruitt's first year, I believe. It might have been the second year. I can't remember exactly, but there was that article in The Athletic where the UTC coaches, I think, were talking about you as, look where Pope lines up. That he'll take you to the play. You're obviously a focal point of that offense. Do you feel like you would have been heavily involved in the offense if you had been able to stay healthy this season?
Yeah, I think so. I think I would have been able to show more of a receiving game. That's what I've been working on since rehab, since getting back healthy, was being able to run good routes and catch the ball a lot more and make things happen in space and be able to make more plays in the receiving game, because I felt like for my blocking that it was pretty decent. I mean, obviously you can get better every day, but I felt like I kind of had that down pat and I needed to work on the second part of my game. But I felt like I definitely would have been a focal point. It's just unfortunate. You know, injuries happen. There's a lot of guys that come through here and everywhere else in the country that are really good athletes, 4 or 5 stars, whatever. And it's just injuries happen and you can't really do anything about it.
What was that like coming into the program? You mentioned CAK, you played in a high octane, throw it all over the place offense here locally in high school. And then you get to Tennessee and they want to make you into more of a pro style blocking tight end. What was that transition like? I'd imagine that was difficult at times.
Oh, it was very difficult. I mean, I played some defense in high school. I got recruited to play linebacker at other schools. But offensively, all I did was run routes and catch the ball in high school. I probably blocked maybe once or twice a game. So it was very different. I didn't know anything about tight end. I didn't know anything about putting my hand in the dirt or backside cutoffs or inside zone, outside zone. I mean, all different gap schemes, everything you can think of. I didn't know anything about it. So it was definitely, from a knowledge standpoint of the game, I didn't know what I was getting myself into. But then I had older guys like Ethan Wolf and Jakob Johnson, even Eli Wolf was older than me at the time. All those guys really helped me, and I really credit most of my blocking success and my tight end play to Larry Scott, used to be a tight end coach here, really made me into the physical player that I was.
Talking with Austin Pope this afternoon on the show. Austin, when you look back at your career, the time you spent at the University of Tennessee, what are some memories that stand out to you, things that positive happened to you that you'll always remember for the rest of your life?
I mean, I'll remember some catches and obviously running out of tee and some ball walks and being on a plane in front of my family. I'll give you one funny memory while I'm here. So we played Vandy in 2019 at home. It was a rain game, whatever. And at the time, Eric Gray was the running back. And we were, I don't know, I think we were up by maybe two touchdowns at the time. And we wanted to get the backups in. So we went out there, and we were on the -5 yard line, I believe. And I looked at Eric, and I was like, bro, please take this to the crib. I'll give you $100 if you score on this first touch. Anyways, we get out there. So we shook hands. We get out there, and JG snaps the ball, and Eric takes off for 95 yards. And I was looking back at the – I didn't even run down the field. I was looking back at the Jumbotron hoping he got tackled so I didn't have to pay up. But anyways, he went down to the bowl game, and he's like, hey, man, you still owe me my $100. That was just one good, funny memory of just playing with the guys and just being a good teammate and really enjoying who I was around at the time.
Oh, yeah. Everybody remembers that play, a long run by Eric Gray against Vanderbilt. You know, he's not around anymore. So many of the guys, there was so much turnover, not just with the coaching staff, but with the roster, Austin. And you were here in Knoxville and sort of in the middle of that. What was that like just to be a part of, you know, Coach Pruitt to Coach Heupel, the transition, new athletics directors? I'd imagine, you know, a lot of drama probably in the offices and all that stuff. That had to be just head spinning for you to sit there and be in the middle of.
Yeah, especially because being an older guy, you form relationships with people, whether it be the actual position coaches or the head coach or the assistant GAs and all the players there. I mean, you have your core group of guys you hang out with, and then when everybody just kind of does their own thing and goes their separate way, I would say it was pretty disheartening. But, I mean, obviously life moves on, and I'm one of the oldest guys on the team. Me and Jaquan Blakely are, the only two left from that Butch Jones class. So it's weird because as an older guy, you feel like the new staff's coming in, and they're trying to, you know, just erase the past, essentially. And in my mind, I was only going to be here for less than 6 months. At the time when they first came in, I was just like, you know what? Like, I don't know these guys. They don't know me. They don't care to know me. Like, I'm just going to come here, and I'm going to ball, and I'm going to go try and play in the NFL and make some money. I even voiced that to Coach Hype, and he told me, he was like, no, like, you got it all wrong. Like, we actually care about you, blah, blah, blah. Like, we care about you now. We care about you in the future. And I actually talked to Coach Hype about all this 4 weeks ago now, whenever I had my last injury, just told him, like, I was done playing. I couldn't do it anymore. And, I mean, he told me, like, whatever I needed down the line, 6 months down the line, a year and a half, like, he'll always be there for me. And I definitely think he's the right guy for the job right now.
Hmm. Austin, everyone wants to know when Tennessee football is going to get fixed. As someone who's been on the inside, what would you say has been the main issue? You got to be a part of three different programs, three different coaching staffs. Is it as simple as just better coaches, better players, or is there a larger reason, in your opinion, that Tennessee keeps having to cycle through these coaches?
I think people put a lot of emphasis on the coaches, and yeah, they're making a lot of money to recruit, to have highly recruited classes and develop these kids and so on. But like I had an interview the other day, I told him, I strongly believe that players go out there and they play. Like, sometimes they just bring a corner blitz and it doesn't get picked up, right? Like, sometimes they're just saying you just got. Like, it just happens. But for the most part, for the majority, if everybody understands their assignment, if everybody is playing for each other, if everybody cares about each other and understands what they're doing on the field, then there's no reason for 95% of this to not be successful. Players play football and coaches coach. And like I said, sometimes you just got, but other than that, like, you can't put all the blame on the coaches because they're not the ones out there throwing or catching or blocking or tackling. So I think when people think about Tennessee football in the future, I know, like, there's a lot of pressure on athletes like myself to be successful, but there should be. It's what we signed up for, you know. I didn't come here to go 6-6 or 5-7 or whatever. I came here to win and go to bowl games and eventually win a championship. And obviously, it didn't happen. But at the end of the day, fans and other people really just need to understand that players play football. And most of the reason that we haven't had success in the past isn't because of a head coach, isn't because of a coach not developing a player, or so on. It's because the people, the 11 guys that go out there on the field, whether it be offense, defense, or special teams, didn't get the job done.
Mm. You mentioned the pressure that's on you guys as players. Did you feel added pressure, in your opinion, being a local guy, being a guy that from Knoxville? I'm sure you have high school friends still in the community, things like that. Was that any added pressure, in your opinion?
Oh, for sure. Because Tennessee wasn't one of my early offers. They were probably the fourth SEC team to offer me, so I kind of felt disrespected, and I felt like I needed to earn that offer. And then when I got here, I felt like I needed to prove myself. And I did over time eventually. I did whatever they asked me to, you know, special teams, blocking, doing whatever. There was that added pressure because I was a local guy. But I also wanted to make the university proud, the football team and my family. I don't want to go out there and embarrass any one of those. Like I said earlier, the pressure, like that's like playing on Saturdays and on CBS at 3:30, that's the pressure you sign up for.
Do you feel like last year, it was such a strange year, only 10 games, all conference games, COVID disruptions, all that stuff. How much of an impact do you think that had on your guys' season?
I think it had a significant impact. I mean, people like to make excuses, but, and it is what it is. Like I said, like we didn't go out there and get it done. And obviously I wasn't out there to help contribute, but I mean, COVID definitely didn't help us. We had two spring practices in jerseys. So guys that are younger guys that are expected to help and be in the rotation, whether it be getting 10 or 15 snaps a game, those guys aren't able to get full live reps in scrimmages. Like usually your older guys, they're in spring ball. They're not out there getting killed every day. They're taking a few reps here and there, a few reps during the scrimmage, pretty much just saving up for the season, just kind of knocking the rust off. But a lot of those younger guys just didn't have the opportunity to go out there to learn, because football is a reaction type of game, and being just in a classroom, or in our case, being on a Zoom call and trying to learn plays and trying to recognize fronts and be able to make calls with the tackles and everybody else, like it's not an ideal situation, especially for my position. So COVID definitely did not help us in any form.
Talking with Austin Pope, former CAK University of Tennessee tight end, just announcing his retirement from the game last Friday here on the show. Austin, just a few more things. We'll let you out of here. You mentioned the NCAA investigation. You were there for the beginning. You mentioned it's still going on right now. How big of a distraction do you think that is right now for the new coaching staff as they try and implement their program? And do you think that the players and coaches are doing a good enough job of limiting whatever that distraction may be the best they can?
To be honest, I don't think it's that big of a distraction. I think everybody's focused on ball and focused on the first game of the season. I really don't think it'll be a distraction until they come out with, you know, deduction of scholarships or postseason stuff, whether it be a bowl game ban or whatever. I think that would be a distraction, and I kind of wish they would either do it right now before the season or do it not any time but during the season, you know, because I think it would be the height of the distraction. But as for right now, like, nothing's came out about it. Everybody is really just focused on the first game of the season, just playing ball.
What kind of a disappointment would it be if there was, say, a bowl ban? They said, you know, there won't be any bowl game for Tennessee this season, no matter what the record ends up being.
I think that would be a huge disappointment, just because, like, if you're not playing for a national championship, then you're playing for a bowl game. You know, pretty much if you lose one game, you're not playing for an SEC championship or even the national championship. So guys are playing for the best bowl. I mean, you know, you go there, you get bowl money. I mean, I remember we went down to Florida in 19. We all had a great time, ended up beating Indiana, made a lot of memories with my buds. So it's really like playing in the bowl game is a great opportunity to go out there and play another game and to show what you can do. But it's also a great opportunity to make memories with your teammates and build those friendships. So I think it would be a huge disappointment.
Well, Austin, we really appreciate your time. I know we went longer than I said to you that we would, but this has been a great talk, I think. What are your future plans, man? What are you going to do now that you're putting the game behind you?
Oh, man. Everybody asked me that question. I don't know yet. I am going to, like I said earlier, I'm going to meet with my surgeon on Wednesday. I'm probably going to have my fourth back surgery, unfortunately, shortly after that. And then obviously I'll rehab, and I talked to Coach Hype. I'm still going to be on scholarship till the end of the year. Thankfully that we don't have to get a job like ASAP right away to be able to pay rent. But I'm not sure. I've thought about maybe getting into medical sales. I've thought about maybe getting into contracting. I don't know. I'm just going to pray about it and see where God leads me.
Mm. Four back surgeries. You're like the Tiger Woods of Tennessee football.
except not as money, not as much money.
Yeah, well, let's hope you have better luck on the roadways as well. Well, we'll be praying for you, my friend, with the back surgeries. I hope all that goes well. Congratulations. Like I said earlier, man, you got to live the dream, buddy, playing for the Vols, being a Knoxville kid. That must have been quite a thrill. Congratulations on a great career. And here's hoping, like I said, you get the back taken care of and you find all the successes you're looking for in life.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I appreciate it very much. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you. That's Austin Pope, Tennessee tight end, VFL, here on the show. Really, really interesting stuff right there. And I know Tennessee fans hoping that everything that turns out well there with his personal health, first and foremost, but sounds like a kid with a good head on his shoulders and a bright future ahead of him once he gets healthy. We got to take a quick time out here on the air. We're going to be right back. We'll throw open the phone lines if you want to respond to that, if you want to jump in on the show. 865-546-8200. 546-8200. It is The Drive here on Fan Run Radio. Back with more right after this.
The Drive.
Back on The Drive, Fan Run Radio. Russ LeBaire back with you. Jake Miller on the board. He'll be answering your phone calls as you call in this afternoon at 865-546-8200. Bear, I thought that was a fantastic talk with Austin Pope just now on the show. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it really was. I really feel for the young man. I would like to talk to him further. Maybe off the air about the discectomy. He's 23 years old. He's going to have his fourth back surgery. I mean, I've got a buddy of mine I grew up with here in town. He played at Holy Cross. But he had ended up, I mean, he's an orthopedic surgeon now, but, you know, he told me not to have back surgery. He had one after college or during college. He was a D lineman. And I cannot imagine just getting it up to have a fourth back surgery.
Well, he had three and was going to play this year at the age of 23.
Oh, make no mistake. I mean, Austin Pope's he's an ironhead. Well, we used to call lunkhead, like Chase Kirchner from Catholic. I mean, there's some dudes that are Jeff Samardzija at Notre Dame, or not Samardzija, the safety that ended up being a boxer. He's that type of guy. He's just a hard head, man.
Yeah,
they just want to play no matter what.
Yeah, and that's going to be a big loss for, you know, I'm imagining that they were relying on him as a. You don't find, especially when you're a new coach coming in and you're trying to establish a new system, especially a new offense. You got a 23-year-old player who's played like 4 years of SEC football for you. That's invaluable. So
yeah, and just a tough guy. That's probably one of the toughest guys on your team.
Be a big loss for them. But great talk. Now there was one part. I know people are going to want to talk about this already. Brian on Twitter says, "Not sure I agree with Pope's assessment that coaching didn't have an effect on the games."
I
would have to go back and listen. I don't think that he was saying it has zero impact. I don't think he would say that. Don't want to put words in his mouth, but he did downplay it a little bit. And
he basically said was, at the end of the day, and you'll hear, you know, people that play or played or whatever, they'll tell you, at the end of the day, the 11 guys on the field, it's on them to make the plays. But it did jump out at me. Like, I heard it how Brian heard it. And I know why he probably said that. It's a perfect diplomatic answer. But the problem with it is that we've had a series of just horrendous, horrendous coaches.
Well, without singling anybody out, I would say, and listen, he played the game. I will certainly defer to his judgment to a point. I would say that it's probably the coach's responsibility to get those players prepared. And, you know, that's what, when you look at the great teams, in addition to having great players, the Nick Sabans, the Dabo Swinneys, those coaches,
they maximize
great control of their programs. And it's like a well-oiled machine. And for whatever reason, we've just struggled to find that consistency and that kind of production on the coaching staff. And hopefully this is a turning point for Tennessee. I like the new tight ends coach.
I hope so.
I think he's an up and comer in this business. So we'll see if they can get that turned around.
Yeah, we haven't. The problem is we haven't had a leader, a head coach with any leadership ability, the kind you need and to be successful in the SEC or in the national stage, probably since, you know, Kiffin walked out of here. And even then, he, you know, was so immature. Let me ask you this, Russ. This jumped out at me. He talked about one coach in particular.
Yeah.
Who really helped him out. Larry Scott. Did you feel guilty at all about the drives, any of the drives hammering Coach Larry Scott?
No, because I think it's the Peter principle, right? You rise to the level of your competency. And I think that it's a really interesting lesson because Larry Scott was a rising star. Remember, he was the interim coach at Miami when Larry Coker got let go, and those kids responded well to him. And obviously he did a good job coaching tight ends, and he was a very good recruiter. And Butch Jones wanted to have that system continuity. He didn't want to bring in a new guy who was going to change terminology. I understand the thinking. It just didn't work out, right, as an offensive coordinator.
I mean, why does Tennessee constantly have to be having coaches at multiple levels within the program where we're testing the Peter principle in real life? Since Sterry never should have been a DC, Derek Dooley, Peter principle, Butch Jones, Peter principle. He never needs to be a, you know, an SEC coach. And you go down the line, Chris Winkie, all of them. They're just horrendous coaching.
Well, what is the lesson there, right? You hire guys who are proven. When you're at a place like Tennessee, and you're hiring an important position, a coordinator, a head coach, whatever. Even an assistant coach. Like, I wouldn't hire a wide receivers coach who's never been a wide receivers coach before. And I know that some people listening will say, well, how do you expect guys to develop and progress in their career? Well, you do it at a lower level. You know, if you're hiring an offensive coordinator, he needs to at least, I would say, have been an offensive coordinator at a Group of Five conference or even D2, you know, what, high school, whatever. He needs to have significant
highly successful system, too.
Call plays.
Yeah,
I can't help but wonder. I hope that, because we've done it again, right? And it doesn't mean it won't work out, but Tim Banks has never been a defensive coordinator at anything like this where he's going to be handed the keys and you're the guy calling the shots and all that stuff.
You're having to defend the best athletes in the nation. And, every Saturday.
Not saying it won't work out. I mean, there are guys who they get their opportunity and they run with it. Fair enough. But you could say the same thing about Heupel, right? Is he's never been a coach at this. He was pretty successful as an offensive coordinator at Oklahoma. I know things eventually went south.
Up some big numbers.
And then to me, the most impressive part about Heupel's career so far is the 2 years at Missouri. That almost more than his head coaching years at UCF is what gives me hope, but we've never seen him do it at this level. Well, so we'll just have to hold that thought, Bear. We'll just have to see what happens coming up here in the future. We'll see what happens in the top four at four. We've not heard from young Jake Miller yet. Looking forward to hearing what he has in store for us when we continue our number two of The Drive. Coming up next, keep it tuned right here. It's Fan Run Radio.